Hi, I'm Mark Brody, co-host of The Show, one of KJZZ's original productions. It's a program with news and features from across Phoenix and the state. You can find much more at theshow.kjzz.org. Here's today's episode. Good morning. It's The Show here on KJZZ 91.5 in Phoenix. I'm Mark Brody. Happy July 4th. Coming up, how a musician overcomes her fear of singing deeply personal songs in front of an audience, and a band that doesn't mind being compared to elevator music. But first, the Haymarket Squares have had a pretty impressive run since they started playing together in 2009. They have more than 500 performances under their belt, fitting in with both punk and bluegrass lineups. The name is a tribute to the Haymarket Riot, a labor protest in Chicago's Haymarket Square that was thrown into chaos when a bomb was thrown. My co-host Lauren Gilger sat down with two of the band's vocalists, Mark Oxborough and Mark Sunman, back in 2019. They started by discussing Haymarket Square's sound, which the band calls punkgrass.
I started writing acoustic punk songs on the mandolin, and it sounded kind of bluegrassy, so I just went with it, and then started calling it punkgrass. I'm sure somebody else called it punkgrass before I did, but...
But I think we're the true innovators, pioneers, developers of the sound.
What's the, define it for us. So, I mean, I get the punk and the bluegrass thing, but what exactly does that mean to you?
Well, having written many booking emails, the way we usually describe it is a marriage of the kind of harmonies and acoustic instruments of bluegrass with the kind of anger, politics, and humor of punk.
Humor especially, but there's a lot of politics in what you write.
Oh, absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about what that began. I know when I started listening to you guys several years ago, it's a lot about Joe Arpaio being from Arizona. How has that shifted over the years? And what does the current kind of political climate do for what you're writing?
A lot. We could make a whole album based on what's happened, you know, yesterday probably. But
I think obviously there's never been a shortage of subject matter. It was a little more interesting maybe, or we were doing something perhaps a little more different when we started, because we became a band right as Obama became president. Mm-hmm. And so there was, at least in some quarters, a great deal of hope and kind of encouragement by political developments. And part of what we were doing was still saying, like, there's still a lot that's really wrong and really deserves your notice and gets us worked up, and maybe you should be too. It's almost felt like in the last couple of years that part of our job is done for us, because it's hard to avoid politics, and it's hard not for almost any thinking person to be affected and, we would hope, angered by the turn that the country has taken.
All right, so we're going to have you play a song. Which one are you going to play for us?
This is a little number called The Water's on Fire.
Thanks, man.
So you were protesting things even when a lot of other people weren't. But now that a lot of people are protesting, do you think that you're just kind of adding to the flames?
It's weird. We've already written about every issue there is. It's just like, it's like exhausting.
It's exhausting. But is this still what is pushing you forward and driving those lyrics?
Well, I think, I mean, for example, one of the songs that we're going to do today, one of my more recent compositions, you know, it's, I call it like a post-apocalyptic romance. And it sort of just looks at a slightly grim view of where this all may end up, you know, 30 years from now, when the consequences of our actions or the actions last, you know, 20 years comes home to roost.
This one's called Dance on the Ash. 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3. The lights in the bedroom keep flickering off. I didn't keep you waiting for this call. Watching the crystals take over the glass. Not gonna lie, winter's kicking my ass. Summer, we had to move north. The whole goddamn state just went up like a torch. Long after tourists had stopped coming round, the pools all turned green and the golf courses brown. And the last visionary just took off for his new home on Mars. The flames of his mansion will keep us all warm. Dance on the ash till a new world is born. Power's been cut back to 2 hours a day. No one was going to work anyway. They keep posting schedules and tearing them down. Old habits die hard like the rest of this town. And the last dignitary cut the ribbon and padlocked the door. Ring round the smokestack, don't look so forlorn. Dance on the ash till a new world is born. A story for children that we'll never have. A saccharine tale where the world isn't twisted and sad. Let's hold a service to help pass the time. I'll get the crackers if you pour the wine. And the last missionary beat a hasty retreat to the barn. While he's fasting and praying over dead ears of corn, dance on the ash till a new world is born. Dance on the ash till a new world is born. Dance on the ash.
That was Mark Oxborough and Mark Sunman of the Haymarket Square speaking with my co-host Lauren Gilger in 2019. The band still plays a few shows a year. They released a live album last November. Good morning. Happy July 4th. It's the show here on KJZZ 91.5. I'm Mark Brody. Coming up, a songwriter who learned guitar from a musician with a unique teaching style.
He's a crazy old dude. He's a Cancer, like me. He would take me out with him to his gigs, and he would play at different pubs all over the valley. And let me tell you, I've sang Bobby McGee about 1,000 times.
How playing in pubs as a kid influences Aileen Dugan's music as a young adult. But first, Raquel Denis is a poet and songwriter. A lot of her writing deals with her life as an Afro-Latina in Arizona and the experiences she and her community face. Denny performed a Tiny Desert concert for us in the Van Buren's Green Room in downtown Phoenix in 2019. We started with delving into her early relationships with poetry and songwriting.
I've been playing music since I was really little. I've always been writing, like journaling and sort of like jotting down my feelings and my day and, you know, hard things going on at home. So writing has always been a big part of my life. I would make up these stupid songs when I was little on the patio. And so they kind of like flow in and out of each other, like the poetry and the songwriting. But yeah, I actually started songwriting in high school.
Well, it sounds like you kind of had these like two parallel paths where you've been writing since, you know, sixth grade or so. You've been playing music since you were a little kid. And at a certain point, they just kind of converged.
Oh, yeah. In high school, for sure. Yes.
What happened?
Well, there were some really difficult things going on in my home. And I found that writing songs and writing poetry were like a really safe outlet for me. And so when things were hard at home, I would kind of like silo myself away into my room, kind of just let all these feelings sort of come out. And then I started writing them down. Then I started paying attention to like the word choice and the lyrics.
Would you consider your songs biographical? Like, do you write about, you mentioned you wrote a lot of poetry and jotted down notes when things were hard in high school, sort of about your life. Do you still use your own life as an inspiration for your songs?
I do. It's usually based in my own experience and my own emotions, and I actually have been writing more songs that are explicit about family and childhood and really being more open in that way.
What is that like for you, putting things that are, I would imagine, in many ways very personal, not just on a page for somebody to read in a book in their house or in a library, but that you're actually singing in front of people who are looking at you when you're talking about things that might have been difficult for you in your life?
Yeah, it's scary. I kind of have to remember that I sing primarily just for my own relief and kind of just my own, like, I need to do this, brings me a lot of relief. And then I'll try to think about, like, maybe someone is here that, like, needs some relief too. That kind of helps push me through the feelings of, like, this is really scary. I'm singing this song about my mom. Like, everyone's going to know, like, our life and or people are going to think I'm emo or whatever. And that kind of helps me push through.
All right, Raquel, can you play a song for us?
Sure. I'm going to go ahead and play a song called Soft. And here it is. Thank you. So no. So no.
Have you ever looked at a song that you have written and thought, wow, this means something totally different to me now than it did when I put the words on paper?
Yes, it's crazy. So the song Soft, for example, I wrote that in 2014, and I was like, I don't know, 21, I think, 22, something like that. And I was, you know, just feeling not great and wrote that song and didn't really think a whole lot about where it was coming from. And then a couple of years later, I realized, like, wow, this song is actually about a feeling I have about, you know, this really sort of traumatic thing that happened in my life. And I didn't realize that till like many years later. But singing that song now in this very difficult time that we're in politically and in Arizona and United States, all of it, when I sing it, it makes me think of like people in my position or people in worse positions who are feeling like, I'm really in it, I'm in the dirt, no one's listening, I don't have a voice, and, you know, I want to continue to feel human and feel vulnerable and feel soft and joyful and all those things. That's what soft means to me now, is kind of like speaking to that experience of being like marginalized or being, you know, afraid of deportation or whatever. I've had friends hear that song and be like, oh, would you want to sing that at this human rights organization or whatever?
Do you feel pressure to be a representative for groups of people, individuals, anything like that in your music?
You know, I don't feel a pressure, but I do feel a responsibility to speak to the things that are hurting my community. You know, before I play, sometimes I bring up something going on politically. And then in my songwriting, it's not even a sense of pressure or responsibility. It's like a need. Like I've been writing more about what this feels like to be a marginalized person right now.
You have a need to do it for yourself,
yeah.
not just for the other people in
no.
similar positions.
Yeah, like it sucks a lot. And so I feel like I have to go home and write about it, because otherwise I just feel really like overwhelmed and sad and sort of despondent.
All right. Raquel, can you play one more song on the way out here?
Absolutely. The last song I'm playing is Untitled. I was scared of who I was. I had to judge. I was small and I was shy. No one knew how much I. So much love inside, I had to hide. I wore a big disguise. I cried all the time. Scared of who I was, I was filled with love, I had to be tough. When I woke up scared at night, I would run to her bedside. She said, go back to sleep. I said, did you want to save me? Did you want to save me? I had so much love inside. I had so much love inside. I had so much love inside.
That was Raquel Denis. I spoke with her in a green room at the Van Buren in downtown Phoenix back in 2019. Last year, she released an album called Matrilineal, which is both a love letter to her mom and her way of unpacking generational grief in her family. Good morning. Happy July 4th. It is the show here on KJZZ 91.5. I'm Mark Brody. Playboy Man Baby's frontman Robbie Pfeffer is a mainstay in the Phoenix entertainment scene. Along with performing with Playboy Man Baby, he hosts dance parties and karaoke nights and makes videos for TikTok and Instagram breaking down local politics. Just last month, he appeared in an episode of America's Got Talent as his intergalactic rapping alter ego Spaceman Bob. Not all of the judges liked him, but the crowd did, and that's the case with Pfeffer's band, too. Playboy Man Baby performed a Tiny Desert concert for us in the parking lot of Donnell Plaza in 2022.
Have you guys ever played in a parking lot before?
Yeah, I'm Robbie. I'm the singer, and I'm pretty dang sure we played in a parking lot. We've played in almost any kind of like unconventional setting you could possibly play in, so parking lot's got to be on that list.
Is that a conscious choice to play in different kinds of venues?
I don't know if you know about economics, but there's a thing called supply and demand, and there has been various demand for a product called Playboy Man Baby. So sometimes that demand is only in basements or like abandoned buildings or whatnot. So it's partially choice, partially circumstance.
So can you guys play a song for us?
Yeah, we're definitely going to play a song. This is called The Feeling I Get When Petting a Dog, and it is arguably the happiest song we've ever written, which is not on our brand.
Catching up now, I'm finally comfortable being me and happiness now feels like a real possibility. Sometimes it's hard to keep your eyes on the prize when you feel paralyzed by the prospect of changing yourself. It makes a difference every time that you try, but the going is slow and you still have to keep wanting more. And now that I'm aware, I see it everywhere. Ooh. And now that I'm aware, I see it everywhere. Ooh. And now that I'm aware, I see it everywhere. And now that I'm aware, I see it everywhere. It doesn't feel like I have to fake it now. Ooh. I'm catching up. I'm finally comfortable being me, and happiness now feels like a real possibility. And every day I wake up, I stare the sun in its face. I greet the goddamn new day, I tell him you don't own me. And sometimes when it all sucks, we have to be reminded of everything we've been through and all the tiny triumphs. And now that I'm aware, I see it everywhere. Ooh. And now that I'm aware, I see it everywhere. Ooh. And now that I'm aware, I see it everywhere. And now that I'm aware, I see it everywhere. It doesn't feel like I have to fake it now. And nothing really matters, we have to keep on going. Forget the past or future, only live in the moment. And nothing really matters, we have to keep on going. Forget the past and future, only live in the moment. And now that I'm aware, I see it everywhere. Doesn't feel like I have to face.
Now back to your pledge drive.
So, Robbie, I've got to ask you about this, and I hope you take this in the spirit in which it's intended. We only just met, but you strike me as somebody who's kind of like a silly, goofy kind of personality. Like, how
I'm
does...
deeply offended.
I'm sorry. I'm totally sorry. Like, how does that sort of manifest itself in your writing? I mean, you can see you, we can see you sort of bopping around when you're singing, but in the writing process and sort of the behind-the-scenes process, how does that manifest itself?
I think we are all very goofy people inherently, and we all really sign up for that sort of thing. Like, if you watch the videos, like the like music videos, not the like TikTok videos, you see it's like all of us call like pretty hard committing into like pretty fun goofy roles. But I think that's always what I've liked in music, and I feel like that none of us are really that kind of like Velvet Underground cool guy sunglasses kind of thing. We're all just like, we're all just weird nerds, and we really like embrace that wholeheartedly because that's really who we are. And, you know, I think that that comes off as hashtag branding authentic.
I've got to say, you talked about not being cool guys in sunglasses, but two of the three of you are in fact wearing sunglasses right now. I'd just like to point that out for the record.
That's borderline medical in the just like we don't do well in the sun. So.
Here's a prescription.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's next for you guys?
I mean, I really think that the ideal thing would be to, you know, now be able to operate as a full band, to be able to play shows, to be able to tour, to be able to put out new records, just kind of get back in the swing of being a band, but also incorporate this kind of new, weird internet world that we've now found ourselves in, which has, you know, opened us up to a bunch of people who we wouldn't have normally been in front of. You know, we always kind of thought of ourselves as a niche within a niche. And it turns out there's a whole bunch of other people who like this hashtag authentic, weird, you know, personality that we put out into the world.
So do you anticipate doing more online stuff in addition to working back toward the live stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And then just kind of incorporating multimedia elements into the shows, having more video in the live show, and just kind of, it's always been a theatrical project, but I think now we have the opportunity to expand that, and that's going to be really fun to do.
So can you guys play a song out for us?
Yeah, this next one is called Car on Fire, about that peaceful feeling you get when you're sitting in traffic.
Everybody's dancing with a shattered spine. Feel your bones are breaking up, let them not mine. It's a joke. Staring down the barrel of a loaded gun. I don't wanna fake it, just a piece of one I don't know. Everybody's standing on an active mine. I feel like I'm trapped and I cannot get out. Smoke flows away from a car. A mild annoyance. I hope someone else remembers to report this. Everybody's dancing with a shattered spine. Feel your bones are breaking. I'm glad they're not mine. It's a joke. Staring down the barrel of a loaded gun. I don't wanna fake it, just to be someone I don't know. Everybody's standing on an active mine. I feel like I'm trapped and I cannot get out. I feel fine. Staring down the barrel. From a car that's engulfed in fire. Smoke
mild annoyance. I hope someone else remembers to report this smoke. Floats away from a car that's engulfed in fire smoke. Floats away from a car that's engulfed in fire smoke. Floats away from a car that's engulfed in fire smoke. Floats away from a car that's engulfed in fire.
That was Playboy Man Baby in 2022 in the parking lot of Donnell Plaza in Tempe. Robbie Pfeffer has a number of live shows coming up this summer and fall, both as Spaceman Bob and with Playboy Man Baby. Good morning. Happy July 4th. This is the show here on KJZZ 91.5. I'm Mark Brody. Morpheus Lowe's singer Aline Dugan calls her music murder folk pop. Her unique introduction to guitar contributes to the band's timeless sound. Last year, Morpheus Lowe performed a Tiny Desert concert at a spot where Dugan had spent a lot of time, American Legion Post 138, a tiny shack of a bar on Broadway Road. She spoke with my co-host, Lauren Gilger.
When you say you started playing music at a very young age, like, this wasn't just piano and guitar lessons. Like, you were playing in bars, right?
Oh, yeah. So let me talk about that. So that was a little later. That was when I was like 11, 12 years old. My mom worked at Maricopa Elementary School, and she had a paraprofessional named Jeannie Jones, and they became friends. And my mom was mentioning that I wanted to learn guitar, which I did. And Jeannie said, well, my husband is a lifelong musician, and he's never taught anyone before, but maybe he would want to teach her. So me and Trevor Jones, we are best friends. He calls me his best friend. He's a crazy old dude. He's a cancer like me. We just have a really unique relationship. He was kind of hard on me, but in like a loving way. And he taught me so much, and he would take me out with him to his gigs, and he would play at different pubs all over the valley. And let me tell you, I've sang Bobby McGee about 1,000 times.
So talk a little bit about musical inspiration. Genre is always an interesting question. I know I hear certain things when I hear your music, but I'm sure you think about it differently. How would you describe the genre you fit into?
If I was to broadly describe it, I would say folk rock. In the era of when I was writing most of these songs that are on this album, I was really listening to a lot of Big Thief. I feel like that's the main. I think so many people just look up to Big Thief so much, so I would definitely credit them as an inspiration for sure. But I think I can't discredit the influences of just like old folk classics. Like, I love Lead Belly. I love Bob Dylan. You know, just all the classic stuff that I've learned over the years that I think informs my playing and informs how I come to write lyrics.
So how do you write a song? Does it start with lyrics for you? Does it start with a poem? Does it start with a melody in your head?
I think all songs are different methods for sure. But for example, Murder Ballad, I was really sad. I was like, it was like 2020, and I was like, on Tinder or something. I wrote this long poem, and all of the rest of it was kind of incomprehensible drivel. But one part said, we die for love, die for money and fame, which is the refrain of Murder Ballad. So that really stuck with me. And then I somehow came up with the rest of that. And it's funny to look back on songs that you've written, because I always say I could never write that song again.
And we'll hear that one now.
This is Murder Ballad number 25.
I could never fall in love, 'cause I know he'd be at my back with a 44. Someday, when I have gone old and gray,
TV shows. We die for love, die for money and fame. You cut off your thumb for a kiss in the rain. It only goes to show that your mother was a stranger and your father was a whore. I never knew you at all. You're just a shadow in the mirror in the hall. Leave me alone, don't you know I'm in pain? I'm never gonna see the sunrise again. I know who told you before that a kiss for every mistress leaves you and her child ignored. And what about those knives in your drawer? I knew I was dying when I begged you for more.
Do you feel like it's an emotional outlet for you? Like, are you not a super open book otherwise?
I'd say I'm an open book. But it's definitely an emotional outlet. I find the best time to write a song is when you feel the worst, because it just lets you let it out. And once you can let it out on the page and let it out into recording, you can, in a way, release it to other people too. Decipher.
That makes sense. All right, so you're gonna take us out on a song here. What's it called?
Well, Midday Landslide. I remember I wrote it sitting under a tree in my complex, and it's kind of about alcoholism and hope for the future. I remember when I was a child, I one time went over to my uncle's house and he was drinking a drink and I thought it was a White Russian because I was a Big Lebowski fan, but it was a landslide and that always stuck with me. So the concept of, it's kind of about getting older and coming to terms with who you are, and you kind of have to live every day. Like, you have to be present every day or else you're dead, basically. So it's about coming to terms with what you can be and, like, really seizing the moment. And I think it's just a reminder to myself and hopefully to others too.
It'll all be better someday.
Aline Dugan of Morphia Slow, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It'll all be better someday. Mother's out and father's sleeping, so why in the hell are you weeping? good man learns to cook on his own. But you can't live on kindness alone.
That was Morpheus Slow. The band singer spoke with my co-host Lauren Gilger last year at American Legion Post 138 in Tempe. Post 138 has since moved to Mesa. Morpheus Slow released a single earlier this year called Summer of Love.
Summer.
For many bands, being labeled elevator music may sound like an insult, not for Moonlight Magic. We'll end our look back at some of our favorite Tiny Desert concerts with a lounge exotica band that blends bossa nova, samba, and lounge music. I spoke with Moonlight Magic's guitarist Jamie Paul Lamb at the Van Buren in 2019, and he said he doesn't mind melting into the background.
I love elevator music. Some of our tunes remind me of, like, literally sitting in the shopping cart in Pathmark when my mom would like roll me around and hearing all those like Walter Wanderley tunes and things like that and instrumental versions of Bacharach tunes, literally elevator music. I loved it. Yeah.
So I have to ask you about that phrase. You used it. I think people who listen to your music might be thinking, maybe they're thinking, boy, I don't want to say it out loud because it might be offensive, but that it is kind of elevator music. It sounds like that it doesn't bother you to call it that.
Oh, we embrace that. Definitely. Yeah, the wallpaper, elevator, ambient, these are all sort of adjectives that I've definitely used describing our thing. We try and make it so you are going to remember our tunes. You are going to remember these melodies. You know, you will likely whistle them when you leave this place, you know.
It almost sounds like more subversive what you're doing. Like you're getting your songs earwormed in people's heads without them even necessarily knowing that it's happening.
Yeah, yeah, that's very attractive to us. And it certainly happens. I mean, we get told that all the time. You know, like, oh, I was humming your tune last week. I was like, where did this come from?
All right, so Jamie, can you guys play something for us?
Sure, we're going to play a number called I've Been Thinking a Lot About You Lately.
This is Moonlight Magic playing I've Been Thinking a Lot About You Lately. I spoke with their guitarist Jamie Paul Lamb in 2019. The band has regular gigs around the valley. You can find out when and where they're playing on Facebook. And that'll do it for this July 4th edition of the show. Thank you, as always, so much for being along. You can find all of our Tiny Desert Concerts online. Just search KJZZ Tiny Desert Concerts. And we have Tiny Desert Concerts stickers. You can find out how to get one by signing up for our weekly newsletter. It is called Radioheads. You can do that at theshow.kjzz.org. For Lauren Gilger and Sam Dingman, I'm Mark Brody in Phoenix. Have a terrific rest of your day. Have a great July 4th holiday. Have a fantastic weekend. Hope to have you right back here on Monday.